Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious, glorious day you've blessed upon us, Lord. The sun's shining and it's warming up and things are growing, and thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for all the God-fearing, bended-kneed women in this room that have helped us through life, that you gave a certain type of love that is blessed, has touched every single one of us. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon this room, Lord, that you will touch every heart here, every soul, open our ears and our soul for this message you're going to bring to us today, Lord. Be with Brother Cal as he brings your message. And I be with all the Sunday school teachers as they teach your word this morning today, Lord. They're so needed for our little ones in the back and our teenagers and our adults. Thank you so much for what they do for everything for this. Lord, if someone doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that you'll break their chains. Just be their Savior like you are for everybody. Thank you for what you do for us each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, amen. Always love these little surprises up here. It's kind of dangerous to do this, you know. But I do have an envelope, and so I'll open it. It says, thank you. Dear Second Mile family, can't thank you all enough for all the baby shower gifts we've received. We're truly blessed to have such a loving and giving church family. We can't wait for all of our church family to meet our little... I can't read that right. What does that say? Blessing, maybe? To meet our little blessing. Once again, we thank each of you for our gifts and gift cards. We love y'all. And God bless. Landon, have y'all... Samantha, have y'all... Where are they? Have y'all got a name for that baby yet? Still don't. All right. Bless baby Milliken. Amen. All right. We love you two. We love you three, four, however many y'all are now. Anyways, I've been looking forward to preaching. Now, you moms, y'all have to forgive me. I preached the Mother's Day message Wednesday night. Since I knew so many of y'all were going to be here Wednesday night, I went ahead and preached the Mother's Day sermon on Wednesday night. We're going to finish up this Easter Essential Sermon Series this morning in Psalm 24. And I love to pastor, but I live to preach. And it's a joy and an honor and a privilege to share God's Word anywhere, but especially with my Second Mile family. I want to encourage you men. I know this is Women's Day, but I want to encourage you men. There's a men's conference out at Trinity Baptist Church this week on Monday night. They're having a big barbecue dinner at 6, and then they're having a service for the men at 7. And our very own Derek Simonis is doing the preaching out there tomorrow. It doesn't cost anything to come. And so if you men want to get fed spiritually and physically, I would encourage you to go to Trinity Baptist Church tomorrow night, way out Highway 41A, okay? Having said that, let's get to Psalm 24. Now, this psalm was written to commemorate the return of the Ark of God to Jerusalem. For 7 months, it had been under lock and key of the Philistines. But the Ark of God had gotten too hot to handle, and they'd returned it to the to the nation of Israel during the days of Samuel and Saul. And Jewish historians tell us as the Ark of the Covenant was coming through the gates of Jerusalem, there was tremendous, uplifting, spirit-filled music. They were dancing, shouting, and singing. And historians also tell us that Psalm 24 was sung, Brother Andrew, by the temple choir. I'll guess on what day? Sunday, the first day of the week. And so this is a marvelous picture of the Ark of our salvation, the King of Glory. And we're going to answer the question this morning, who is this King of Glory? Look at your neighbor and say, who is this King? All right, if you would stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. Adam, I'm just going to focus on verses 7 through 10, and then we'll come back as we move through the message with the other verses, okay? Psalm 24, verse 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Coach Gregory, ask God to bless the word, would you?
My God, we pray your presence, God. We thank you this day. Thank you to all the mothers here, and the grandmothers, and everybody here, God. We thank you, Brother Dow. We pray you to be with us and bring to you your word today, God. Just bless them. Let the Holy Spirit speak through them. God, we pray for our nation. We pray for all the things going on in the earth today, God. We pray our people. Look to you for leadership and help. God, we just thank you for your son.
Yes.
God, we pray that anyone here today doesn't know you. They didn't believe you without knowing you as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you for all the great things you did for us. In his precious name we pray.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Will, for those prayers. I covet your prayers on Sundays. Y'all do know we're working against someone in here on Sunday. Y'all understand that, right? We're in a spiritual battle. Now, we want to answer the question, who is this King of Glory? And the first thing I want to say to you, and if you, I read, Billy does too, I think, I read a lot of John Phillips, and his commentary is as good as any I've ever read from Psalm 24. And I'm taking some bits and pieces from some of his commentary. You need to give credit where credit's due, right? But the first thing that jumps out at me is that this king that we're talking about this morning, this King of Glory, he's got a planet. He's got a planet. Now, I know I could see how excited y'all were to hear that. Let's look at verse 1. Psalm 24, the king has a planet. The earth is the Lord's. Whose is it? And all its fullness. In other words, everything. The world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. This king has a planet that we're talking about. And, you know, the scripture tells us this morning that God created the universe. Everything you're looking at, God made it. I mean, he's got his name stamped on everything. The universe is his. Imagine that. The billions and billions and billions of stars are all his. The millions of galaxies, they're all his. And did you know his affection and his attention is focused on one specific galaxy? The Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is made up of 100 billion stars. And it stretches 100,000 light years from rim to rim. And there is one special star in the Milky Way galaxy that gave birth to some planets. The name of that star is the Sun. That's right. And so you've got the Sun and its planets spinning in orbit around the center of this huge galaxy. Well, the scripture tells us that the king not only has his eye on this galaxy, he's got his eye on one of those little planets, planet Earth. Why is planet Earth so important to God? Why would this, I mean, when you look at Earth in the scope of the universe, it's nothing more than a pinhead. You hear me? And yet, the Earth is important to the Lord. Why so? Because of what happened here. Because of what happened here. Now, how many have ever been to New York City? Well, a few of you. That's good. Y'all are getting out. All right. New York City is a very important city. Some have called it the center of the universe. Millions of people live there. And there's all kinds of sights to see in New York City, right? I mean, you've got Central Park and Times Square. You've got the Rockefeller Center. You've got Madison Square Garden. You've got the Radio City Music Hall. You've got the Empire State Building. You've got Ellis Island. You've got Statue of Liberty. You've got Chinatown. You've got Little Italy. I mean, you've got all kinds of stuff to see in New York City. And the Yankees and the Rangers and the Jets and the Giants, they all play there. But New York City is even more important now than it was 20 years ago. What happened 20-something years ago? 9/11. It's changed the course of human history. Islamic terrorists flew planes at those Twin Towers. And that day, almost 3,000 people were killed, slaughtered. New York City is important because of what happened there. And this little planet called Earth that God has His eyes on, it's important because of what happened here. Did you know ...2,000 years ago, long before God made man in His image, long before, it wasn't 2,000 years ago, eons ago. Long before that old slimy serpent slithered into the Garden of Eden and drug humanity into sin, sin was already in existence. Did you know that? Sin didn't begin on earth. Sin didn't begin in the Garden of Eden. Sin didn't begin in humanity's heart. Sin began in heaven, in the heart of Lucifer, the great minister of music of heaven. And at that very moment, do you know what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit decided to do? They put a rescue package in place before the foundations of the world. They put the plan of salvation, and this purpose of redemption was put in place by the Trinity. And it happened, all of this took place on the planet Earth. God decided to once and for all deal with the mystery of sin and brought the problem of sin to a head outside of camp, outside of Jerusalem, on a hill called Calvary. Amen? And so, and Satan, you know, he was... Now, I think Satan didn't quite understand what all God was doing at the cross. I think he got ambushed, to be honest with you, because if he'd have known everything and all the repercussions and the consequences of the tomb and the cross and all that, I think he'd have stayed away. But you know what he did? He had Jesus arrested on false charges. We've looked at all that. Trumped up charges, right? And he had him, they brought false witnesses in to testify against the Lord, and they had him beaten, and Satan had him mocked and ridiculed and scorned and scourged and crucified. Mercy me. And then, of course, you do know this, right? Jesus not only paid the price for your sin and mine, but he didn't stay dead. He's alive forevermore. And so God has His eye on this planet because it's all His. But mainly because of what happened here. Hallelujah. This king has a planet. And we call it planet. All right. So the king has a planet. And then secondly, I want you to look at verse 3. The king has a people. Look at somebody and say, uh-oh. The king has a people. It's going to get better, I promise. Look at verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Selah. Do you know what Selah means? I think it just means there. What do you think about that? We really don't know exactly what it means, but I believe it's got something to say about like there. How about that? What do you think about that? So, the king has a people. Now, I told you all that God, you know, has his affection and his attention on a particular galaxy and on a particular planet, but God also has his attention on a city. And the name of that city is Jerusalem. Right? And by the way, the king has his eyes on the land of Israel. Do you know why? Because 4,000 years ago, he deeded it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to tell you, the land of Israel belongs to the Jews. It does not belong to the Palestinians or the Arabs or the Saudi Arabians or anyone else. Doesn't belong to the Jordanians. It doesn't belong to anyone other than the Jews. God deeded it 4,000 years ago. And brothers and sisters, this isn't a political statement, but we stand with Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God has his eye on Jerusalem. And don't you love the songs that we sing about the city of God? I won't sing one, but there's several that I really like. And the Hoppers sing one of them. Woo, it's Holy Ghost stuff. You got to go back a few years to catch it, but anyways, it's good. And so God has his eyes on Jerusalem, and specifically in Jerusalem, there are two places that really have his heart and affection. One, he calls the Hill of the Lord. Now, where is that? Well, that's Mount Zion. That's where David's fortress and palace was. Mount Zion. And then that's the Hill of the Lord. And then the other place, he called it the Holy Place. The Holy Place. Well, where is that? That's Mount Moriah. That's where the temple once stood. And so it's coming soon and very soon. But Jerusalem is again going to be the capital of the universe. Millions are going to come to Jerusalem to worship the King of Kings. Say amen. So... You got this special city. You got these two places. And the psalmist asked the question, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in his holy place? You understand what he's asking? He's asking us, is this place, who wants to share in all this glory? Who wants to share in all that's going to go on in the holy place? And the answer is, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands had to do with our outward behavior. A pure heart has to do with our inward belief. You do know that you behave according to how you believe. Let that sink in. We behave according to what we believe. And what he's saying here is you need clean hands. And in God's eyes, the only way you can have clean hands is to have them washed in the blood of the Lamb. And a pure heart, the Bible says in I believe it's Matthew 5:8, only the pure in heart shall see God. Now, nobody would sit down at the king's table with dirty hands. I wouldn't even sit down at mama's table with dirty hands. But we're talking spiritual stuff here. And what he's saying is, it doesn't matter how dirty your heart. Let me put it like this. If your heart's dirty, it doesn't matter how clean your hands are. And he begins to talk about the behavior, the belief of the king's people here. Did you catch that? He said, man, they are the ones who've not lifted up their soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. They've received blessing from the Lord. They're looking and seeking righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. In other words, the king's people are these people who are laying down the idols in their lives. Their words. You can trust their words are as good as gold. And they're seeking him. and His righteousness. They're trustworthy and dependable. I mean, their hearts are coated with integrity. Their lips flow with honesty. Their life is marked by fidelity. We're talking about the King's people. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to be different. We should be different from the rest of the world. Why? Because we belong to the King. Look at your neighbor and say, are you one of the King's people? You see, our minds and our hearts are set on things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And so I want to ask you a question. Not only are you one of the King's people, who do you live for? Who are you living for? What do you long for? What's your priorities? There they are. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. We're the King's people. Somebody shout amen. Amen. But here's what I wanted to get to. This King not only has a planet, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This King not only has a people, the folks who have clean hands and a pure heart, but this King has a purpose. This King has a purpose. Now, five times in verses 7 through 10, the Holy Spirit calls Christ the King of Glory. And remember the setting. Remember what's behind Psalm 20. It's a commemoration. It's a processional march into the gates of Jerusalem with the Ark of God. You got that? All that's flowing in the mind of King David who wrote this great psalm. And so you've got this conference. Twice the challenge is issued. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up the gates so the King of Glory can come in. Twice that challenge is issued. And then twice the question is asked, well, who is this King of Glory? And then the first response is the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. And then the second response is completely different. The Lord of hosts, He is the King of Glory. Now, what is this? Is this Holy Ghost rhetoric? I mean, is this Holy Spirit mumbo jumbo? What are we to make of this? Well, I'm glad you ask. Now, if you hadn't gotten anything yet this morning, buckle your seatbelt. Y'all ready? 2,000 years ago, the Lord left heaven and came to earth as a human being. You do know there's a glorified man on the throne in heaven, right? We've talked about all this in these Easter sermons. And so you got the Lord here. And He lived 33 and a half years, lived a perfect sinless life. He never did sin. Oh, He was tempted to sin. And He suffered. And He had a lot of bad stuff come His way. But He lived a sinless life. In other words, what the psalmist is telling us, He won the victory. He had victory after victory after victory after victory. Every battle the Lord wound up in, He won. Strong and mighty. Mighty in battle. Let's just think about that for a minute. You remember when the Lord began His ministry? I know you weren't there, but you know the scriptures talk about it. He wound up spending 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying. And when He was weak, guess who came to tempt Him? Satan did. And He tempted Him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And every time you remember what Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He won the victory in the wilderness. And then Satan had Him, like we mentioned earlier, put Him on a cross. And He was beaten beyond recognition. They plucked His beard out. They placed a crown of thorns on His head. And blood was everywhere. He was so bruised. Isaiah said you couldn't even recognize who He was. And then He was laughed at and mocked and ridiculed. And then we looked at one of the sermons that He was scourged, which would have killed the normal human being. And then He was crucified. You know why he did all that? So that we could be forgiven of our sin. He won the victory. And Satan even, tempted Jesus. You remember that? To come down off the cross? And there were thousands of angels just standing there ready at his beck and call, but the call never came. And then Satan had him placed in a barred tomb. But hallelujah, he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he got up from the grave. And he not only defeated sin, he defeated death, he defeated disease, he defeated hell, he defeated the grave. He's the Lord. He's the King of glory. He's strong and mighty, mighty in battle. And then last week we looked at the ascension. You remember this. I love that passage of Scripture that we looked at last week. Jesus spent 40 days on earth after his resurrection before he went back to heaven. And then you remember he called all his disciples on the Mount of Olives. I believe there were hundreds of disciples there that day. And they're all standing there watching him rise. You remember that from last Sunday? And then the Bible says a cloud received him out of their sight. In other words, once he got up to this cloud, they couldn't tell what happened. They don't know what happened on the other side of the cloud. But 1,000 years before the event ever took place, King David saw what happened. Ooh, don't miss this. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus went back home on this cloud, this chariot of deity, this heavenly Shekinah cloud of glory, and shows up at the gates of glory and said, "Get those gates up so the King of glory can come in." And then the gatekeeper said, "Well, who is this King of glory?" And the Lord stood up with those nail-pierced hands and said, "The Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle." He won the victory. Some of y'all need to hear a message of victory. I can tell by looking at you. We're not defeated. We're not done. Hallelujah. He's the Lord, strong, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. And whatever your need is here today, whatever it is that you're up against, you may be up against insurmountable odds, but the King has won the victory for you. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. He's strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five, do something. Glory to his name. Y'all really don't know how to receive this Baptist pastor, do you? But now, look between verses 8 and 9. See that? Two different conversations, really. And so you've got the church age in between verses 8 and 9. Centuries of grace have been rolling by. And God has been... Now, Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, right? I mean, the King came marching in. He walked up Beulah Boulevard and around Amen Square and up Hosanna Highway to the throne. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where he is right now. Y'all with me? And during that time, the Lord has been adding to his church men and women, boys and girls. The Bible says from every nation, every tongue, every tribe. And it's a number no man can number. It's a multitude of folks. The church is an amazing, heaven-born, heaven-bound organization. Nothing like the church. Boy, y'all have had too much brunch today. No more eating before sermon. All right. So here's where we are. One of these days, the last invitation is going to be given. And the last person is going to surrender their heart and life to Christ. It'll be done. Church age will be over. And then you know what's going to happen? The Father's going to look over at the Son, who's sitting there right beside him, and he's going to say, "Son, I've had just about enough. It's time to go get our people and reclaim our planet." And then you know what's going to happen then? The Lord himself, the King of glory, will rise. And he's going to shout. What's he going to shout? It doesn't matter if you're one of his people, you're going to hear that shout. I think personally you'll hear your name. "Cal, come up here." And Diana, you're not going to be late on this day. You're going to be early. You're going to be ready. Hallelujah. She's going to be there. Nobody's going to be late. And then the Bible says the voice of the archangel. the voice of the archangel. What's he going to say? I don't know. Probably going to announce, Satan, you thought you had us done, but your goose is cooked. We're winning. We're the winners. And then there's going to be a trumpet sound, and guess what's going to happen then? He's going to step down off that throne, and he's going to ride that cloud all the way back down here in the air. And graves all over the universe are going to open up and give forth the Christian dead. Hallelujah. The saints of all time are going to be raised to have a body like Jesus. Those of you who are still alive and remain, our bodies are going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. How many of you are not happy with your body today? Well, you're going to get a body that's ready for all of eternity. You're going to know more then than you know now. You're going to be set free. Glory to God. You say, we're not ready for heaven yet. We're still cursed with this sin stuff. But on that day, we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. And it is a multitude that no man can number. And this is the righteous rapture of the redeemed. And we're going to rise. And guess what? We're going back to those same gates of glory with the King of Glory. And then that challenge is going to go forth again. Lift up these gates. Lift up these gates so the King of Glory can come in. And the second time from the gatekeeper, he'll say, who is this King of Glory? And Jesus will raise those nail-pierced hands and point to this huge crowd of people, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Now get these gates open. And the King will come marching in with every single one of us. We'll head to the throne, and the Lord will look at the Father and say, Father, they're all here. I hadn't lost one of them. Amen. See? And then he's going to sit down, and we're going to reign and rule with him, and we're going to give him honor and glory and praise. We're going to worship the King of Kings for all of eternity, and we're going to serve him. Now, I've said all of that to say this. Listen to me. Lean in right now. Do you have a relationship with this King? I'm not talking about do you know him. The demons all know him. I'm talking about do you know him? Do you know that you're his and he's yours? Do you? Do y'all know him? Are you sure? Are you walking with him and talking with him? Is he leading you and guiding you? Is he providing for you? Do you know that he loves you? My son and my two daughters and my wife, they don't have to know that. They don't have to get, I wonder if daddy loves me. Oh, I wonder if my husband loves me. No, they know I love them. You know why? I not only tell them, I show them. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He loves you with an everlasting love. If you're here this morning, but Brother Cal, I've got my name on a church roll. I even belong here to Second Mile Church. Well, whoop-de-doo, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's not. We think God needs our help, and he needs our tithe, and he needs our baptism, and he needs all our good works. He needs for us to do this and this and that. No, if you belong to the Lord, you're going to do all those things. You're going to be a part of things like MoCo Day. You're going to share the gospel. You're going to do all that. But the only thing that's going to get us to glory is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Now here's where the rubber hits the road. If you've never really, I mean really, got serious with God, under conviction about your sin, you can't be saved unless you understand that you're a sinner and your sins have separated you from Almighty God. You're not good enough to get to heaven. I'm not. Nobody on their best day is good enough to get there. But if you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, and believe that God raised him from the dead, that he's the Son of God, that he's alive. If you believe by placing everything that you are into everything that he is, that's what lordship salvation means, then guess what? Jesus Christ will receive you. And one day when it's time, you're going to get to march through the gates of glory with that huge crowd of witnesses, the church, Old Testament saints, millions of angels. You'll want to be a part of that. And then those of you that have already been saved, been born again, let me ask you again, who are you living for? What's your priority? What are you all about? I would venture to say, in a room this large, there's folks that need to make decisions for Christ today. Would you bow your head with me? I want to be sure that I'm crystal clear. If you're not sure about your relationship with Christ, there wouldn't be a million demons keep me from the Lord today. Right where you sit, if you'd just be willing to say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I've done things that I knew were wrong and I did them anyway. And I've made a mess of things. But I believe that you paid for all my sins at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And I receive that gift today by faith. And I surrender wholeheartedly to you. You're my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me here today. Clean me up. Forgive me and do what only you can do in my life. If you prayed like that in the chair that you're sitting in, I believe, according to the Word of God, you've been truly born again today. And you've begun a brand new life. Not a change, not turning over a new leaf, a brand new beginning. No, you've got a brand new life now. And you belong to Him. And now you operate under His commands. And that first command that He gives new believers is to walk in obedience. And that begins with believers' baptism. I'm going to say it again this morning. Some of you here today need to be baptized. Not for salvation, but just telling the world that you now belong to Him. And there are Christians here today, on this Mother's Day, and you know you're not right with God. God brought you here to hear this message. Wouldn't you just say yes and come clean? He already knows what's going on. And come to this old altar up here, and we'd love to pray for you. Now, if you prayed to receive Christ, if you'll just come forward, we'll hook you up with some materials. We'll pray over you and with you and get you started right on your new life with Christ. And if you need to just come pray, the altar at Second Mile Church is always open. It's a place to come meet God on holy ground. Father, bless this time now. Don't let Satan discourage us. Don't let him distract us. This is your time. You do what only you can do. Give people the courage to do what they know that they know that they know they need to do. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's all stand. Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn of response.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.